Hi, Melissa. Hi, Betsy.
Good morning, Margaret.
Hi. And yeah. Even though it's Dolly Parton, that song means it is time for Garden Conversation. So welcome this morning.
Yeah, well, welcome. Welcome to you, too.
Oh, yeah. I love Thursdays. Why not?
A new face, and welcome to Betsy, who's been on a couple of times with us.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, today, on kind of a sad note, quite a sad note, we're remembering Charlotte Jewell. Who was one of the guiding lights of gardening in the Northern Lynn Canal. She was the amazing energy behind Jewell Gardens in Skagway, which was one of the first, if not the first, USDA-certified organic show gardens in the United States.
No way, wow.
Yeah, Charlotte began Jewell Gardens in 2001. I first visited there in, I think it was 2008, with the Master Gardener class from Haynes. And I was totally blown away by the garden, by the artistry of the garden, the restaurant, mostly the energy and the vision that Charlotte brought to her creation. A few years later, Charlotte asked me to teach a permaculture class in Skagway, and it was a delight to get to know some of the Skagway gardeners and also to learn how different gardening is in Skagway and Haynes, totally different climates. Charlotte also organized a gardening conference in Skagway with Jeff Lowenfels of Anchorage as the keynote speaker. Jeff writes an amazing gardening feature for the Anchorage paper that I enjoyed reading back in the 1980s when I was first trying to figure out if it was possible to garden in Alaska. When we talk on the show about teeming with microbes and teeming with nutrients, we're referring to his books. It was great to hear him speak in person. Charlotte was always a presence at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. She helped with the judging. She took part in the Sunday morning garden tours and always lent all kinds of wonderful information. I learned so much from her. One tip was about overwintering begonias. If you've listened to the show before, you know I'm all about figuring out how to do things successfully with minimal work. Well, I used to take the begonias out of the pots and store them in peat moss in a box. She showed me that you can just store the pots with the bulbs in them in a dark place that won't freeze. And then in the spring, you bring them out when the little noses begin to appear. Water and feed them, and you'll get a jump start on the flowers. It works really well, and it reduces the chance of damage to the bulbs. I sent out an email to some of the people that I knew Charlotte and asked for input from them on fond memories and gardening tips. And so if you will excuse me, I'm going to read
these. Yes.
So that these are not my words, but their words. The first is from Amy Erfling, who was the garden manager for Jewell Gardens. Thank you for doing this show to share memories of Charlotte. I know the gardening community in Southeast Alaska will miss Charlotte greatly. I have so many memories of Charlotte, and often when I'm working with plants, I'm brought to tears and laughter thinking about her. It's difficult to narrow down my favorite memories of Charlotte after knowing her and working with her for 6 years, but here's what I came up with, at which point she shared a joke I cannot share on the radio.
her favorite Charlotte
gardening tip. She was an avid collector of tuberous begonias, taught me everything I know about them. She showed me how she propagates begonias in the spring by digging out a bit of the tuber right at the base where the emerging shoot meets the tuber. That's called a basal cutting. And she puts them in peaty potting soil mixture, peat moss largely. She'd just dig right in with her fingernail and almost always had great results. Her favorite, Amy's favorite Charlotte garden moment. I love to hear Charlotte give garden tours. She had great humor and provided tourists not only with wonderful facts about Skagway and the Garden City, but she also informed tourists about larger issues such as the importance of organic gardening, sustainability, and the local food supply. She was one of the people who really brought our attention to food security. Amy's favorite part of Charlotte's tour was when she would walk by the workers in the garden and say, "Here are my favorite perennials, the gardeners."
Oh, that's sweet.
Amy left Jewell Gardens this spring to work at the Alaska Botanical Garden in Anchorage. She misses Skagway, so she's returning next week to help end the season at Jewell Gardens. and to help figure out what's next for the garden. There's a memorial gathering for Charlotte at the garden in Skagway on September 3rd. So people who are, you know, inclined are certainly invited to be there. Amy attended the garden conference in Haines earlier this year. She said it helped her feel more connected to the vibrant gardening and farming community throughout Southeast Alaska and particularly the Upper Lynn Canal. She says, I'm not sure what the future holds for Jewel Gardens, but I'm hoping to have some influence over what happens and to help develop community connections for the garden throughout Southeast Alaska. Amy may be listening to us online from Anchorage. Hello, Amy. She asks that we please say hello to all her garden friends in Haines and Skagway, and she looks forward to garden talking with us all again soon. The second person who sent was information was Emily Willis, who lives in Skagway. She was Charlotte's garden manager from 2003 to 2008 and the CSA director and volunteer for 2 years after that. My first memory that cropped up during my first spring with Charlotte, we were out at the gardens discussing what to plant, when to uncover the perennials and projects on the horizon. Since this was before the water was turned on and I needed to use the facilities, I wasn't exactly sure where to go. Charlotte told me, go pee on the lilacs. They like that. They do. They like the high nitrogen. And so I did, never questioning her logic about it. I loved how matter-of-fact she was. And I loved how her face lit up when she was in her greenhouse, brushing her hands gently across the baby plants. It helps them get used to the wind, she said. One of the best memories is how she let me learn to try out new plants in the gardens. We tried saving seeds, selling plants, and different growing techniques. I still think of those times fondly. When my first child was born, I slowly backed out of Jewel Gardens, focusing on my family and then on my own business. Yet Charlotte and I remain friends through the years, and I'll greatly miss her. And she says, thank you for acknowledging her work and her legacy. And then from another listener's, snapdragons, begonias, rhubarb, three silly plants that I plant and care for, thinking of Charlotte. Red snapdragons in a bed at Jewel Gardens that always bloomed in mass. Bright begonias lined up under the trees, and if you ever got to Jewel Gardens to see that, it was fantastic. Rhubarb from a 100-year-old stock. Anrithium, the genus for snapdragon, was just one of the many proper botanical names that Charlotte rattled off when we walked either in the gardens or in the woods. Not only was she my mentor, she was and still is my beloved friend. So those are some sweet memories of Charlotte Jewel, who we just recently lost, and who will be remembered by the passionate gardeners of particularly Skagway and those of us that got to meet her. And now on to some questions from listeners about gardening. And this came in from one listener. Is it time to dig up potatoes? I guess it's pretty early, but it seems to me that fall is practically upon us. I'd planted most in garbage cans and 5-gallon buckets. I emptied out a bucket yesterday because the foliage is yellowing and looking somewhat wilted, but there were mostly little tiny potatoes down among the roots of the foliage. They tasted good, but were so small. Are they done? Is it just the lack of sun that makes them so small? Do I dare disrupt the potatoes in garbage cans and in the ground, or should I let them grow longer? Will they rot in this awful weather? So, Betsy, what do you think?
Well, according to the Gardening in Southeast Alaska book, it says the final phase of growth happens when the leaves begin to die back, which makes sense. Less nutrients can get into the tubers. So they say when half the foliage has died back, that's time when it's time to start digging the potatoes. I probably wait a little longer, but, you know, it also depends on this wet weather, and it depends on your soil. So when half of them or more die back, then just be careful. Use, a pitchfork, but watch stabbing the potatoes. Try to, you know, pick your potatoes. And then any ones that are damaged won't last the winter, so those are the ones you want to eat first.
Eat right away.
Yeah.
So you can eat the damaged ones, you just can't replant them. They won't last. Okay.
Right.
They'll just start rotting. You replant potatoes in the spring. Okay. Yeah. Not now. And I have mine in a large raised bed, and those of you listening on the radio can't see, but those of you in the studio can see my fingernails are a mess. Yeah, so I hand dug. It was so much fun.
It is. It is. It's like a treasure hunt.
Oh, yeah. It used to be my favorite as a kid, is digging up the potatoes.
So, Betsy, once they're harvested, what do you do?
Okay, so when I harvest them, I take them to a shed, my shed, and I lay them out and on a rack where they can get some air, and I let them sit there for 1 to 2 weeks. So I really let them dry off. And then you can just brush the soil off. You do not want to wash the potatoes. So, you know, they want to be sort of dry when they go into storage. And sometimes I'll cover them because they want to stay in the dark. They don't, you know, potatoes want to don't want to get in the light for that greening and solanine. And then I'll store them in a crate. And so I don't use sawdust, I think. I store them in a crate and put them in the root cellar. So they're best at, you know, right above freezing, 33 to 38, 40 degrees.
Something like that.
And we still have some from last year. And they're actually really good still.
Really?
Yeah.
They sprouted.
They sprout, but we just break off the sprouts and eat them, and they're still good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When mine sprout in the spring, I plant some of those.
Sure.
But I also use it as an excuse for potato salad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so when you store yours in the crate, do you, like, layer paper on them or anything?
No.
The potatoes are actually touching.
Yeah, potatoes are touching. Yeah, the one book, there's a great book on root celery in the library, and they just, you know, put them in crates, too. I use those milk carton crates so they get air.
Oh, okay.
Oh, with the, yeah, okay.
Okay, that have
yeah,
the,
that
yeah,
makes sense.
That are plastic and,
right.
Yeah, you can sometimes find those at the recycling center.
That's
when
right.
You recycle and shop up there. okay, yeah, I do. I store mine a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I have an old ice chest and I put down a layer of sawdust and I'm careful that it's not cedar or treated wood.
Right.
And then I place the potatoes in there so that they're not touching, because I always worry about rot spreading from one potato to another. Even though I'm careful to look for rot before I put them in there, you know, sometimes you miss things. And then once I've got one layer, I put more sawdust on, and then the next layer of potatoes and so on. Mm-hmm. And I keep it in an unheated garage that's attached to the house. And so, you know, like you say, it stays probably in the upper 30s above freezing, but barely above freezing.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that works really well.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
But always in the dark. Mm-hmm. I put a lid over it, but I keep the lid open a little bit.
Moisture.
So there's some air, a little bit of airflow.
So then you get to dig through the sawdust again to find your potatoes?
Yes.
That's
I love
awesome.
Digging through things. Not good for a manicure. But.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else to say on potatoes, I think?
No.
That's probably good on that. It's also time to think about harvesting garlic and replanting them. So, Betsy, what are your tips on that?
Well, my tips are to harvest them when the lower two or three leaves have turned brown. That's what this one book says, and seems like it's right. And the reason to do that is because, obviously, the plant's starting to die off. But I did read somewhere if they stay in a little bit longer, they can kind of open up. And then when you pull them out, that's more subject to moisture getting in between the cloves. So I use Music in Siberian, but obviously there's a bunch of different kinds, and it's a hard neck. But I know people have success with soft neck. And pull them out, and then I also lay them in the sun again for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you harvested your garlic?
Yes, I harvested mine end of July because they were dying back so much. And so dry weather.
You're in a sunny southern exposure.
Right.
I'm in a northern shady exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm harvesting mine this weekend.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but okay. I think it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So
it depends on where you are and how they look, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in general, are you guys seeing that things are a little earlier this year? Or no, not really? It just sounds like between the potatoes and the garlic, things are...
Well, I think it's because it's still dry for me. I didn't have a lot of water, so I think my plants are maybe a little more stressed.
Okay.
And I do have three beds of potatoes, and they're all different. Some are ready to pick now, and the other two aren't. And Melissa, you mentioned because
of
kinds.
Yeah, the same thing. I have Yukon Gold and Tlingit potatoes, and I harvested about half of the Yukon Gold yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But the Tlingit still look like they've got a ways to go. So I'll leave them as long as they want to go. In terms of Margaret's question, are things early this year? Most of the summer, our experience has been that things have been later than normal.
Okay.
That's true.
Interesting.
Just because it's been such a cold winter. And thinking back, I'm sorry, summer. It was a summer. And thinking
barely.
thinking back to last summer, it was a summer. Things are just not working nearly like they did last year.
Right.
Betsy, you said that you use Siberian and music, garlic, and you use hardneck. So are you getting ready to, when will you plant again, and why do you pick those varieties? Why do you pick hardneck?
Well, they work, right? And then they say replant your own, and you kind of develop sort of a, you know, works with your soil. And I'll start planting end of September, early October.
Okay.
You know, because you want to get it in before the first freeze, but and you want them time to establish themselves, but not start sprouting.
Okay.
Got it.
And you save some of the larger cloves from this year's harvest to plant in the next year. And then when you plant them, what do you do?
I put them, well, first I get the bed ready, and I do rotate. We're talking about that. And I get the bed ready by putting a lot of compost in and maybe some organic fertilizer. And you can I can do bone meal, rock phosphate, any of those additives. Mix it all up and put the garlic in with the point side up, root side down, about 2 inches below.
And about how far apart?
About 4 inches, to 6 inches.
Okay.
Maybe I
about
think
the width of a hand. Apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
About you? And then I mulch it. I almost do 2 feet of mulch because that's what this one book said, and because I'm sort of exposed to the winter winds and everything. And so between straw and seaweed, I just layer it on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blanket it.
Yeah, and it works really well. So kind of in conclusion, this is a busy time.
Yeah.
It's time to harvest, to freeze, to can, to dry all that produce. We worked really hard to grow it this year, and we don't want to let it go to waste.
No.
So it's time to get out there and work hard this weekend. Just dodge the raindrops. I will not be going to any meetings this weekend. I will be playing in my garden.
Good for you. Playing in the dirt. That's what Charlotte would want.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Well, thank you, ladies, and thanks for being here for Garden Talk today. And just a reminder, we do post these on the website. And now that I say that, it's a good reminder for me to do that because it's my responsibility. So, yes, we do post them on the website if people want to re-listen or refer back to anything you've said previously.
And if you have questions for us, please garden at KHNS.org for your gardening questions, because we do want to respond to those questions.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay,
well, thanks,
happy
lady.
Gardening.
Happy gardening. Thanks for being here.